I'm going to preach from that passage in Romans now. We're going to think about how baptism symbolizes death and new life. Because that's what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So baptism signifies dying to the old life, death to the old, and being raised to live a new life, the life of God, in the fullness of God. So let's think about these things now, and we'll start off with death. Now, we're very familiar, I think, rightly so, that Jesus died to save us from punishment. We were thinking about that earlier. And all who put their trust in him, like Dale and Emily have, will be saved from future punishment. But Jesus also died so that those who trust in him can die, so that they can die to the old life of sin. And what baptism does is it proclaims this. As we saw in their baptisms, Emily and Dale went down into the water. And baptism is like a dramatization of death, an acting out of death and burial. Going down into the baptism pool is like a coffin going down into the grave. The water covering them is like the coffin being buried in the ground and being covered by the earth. Remember that verse from Romans chapter 6, verse 4? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Death to the old life of living without God. And death to the old life means that we are no longer controlled by sin. And we see this in verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So baptism symbolically shows that you are no longer living as you were. You've died to sin. Sin doesn't rule you or control you or enslave you anymore. You no longer follow your own desires all the time. You follow God. And you follow him out of love and out of gratitude. Jesus, life with Jesus, has broken the power of sin over you. Before you became a Christian, sin said, do this, do that, live as you please, follow your own desires, put yourself first, ignore God, and you did it. That's how you lived. But a Christian says, no, I'm dead to sin now. I'm not going to obey it and live in it. We can think of it like this. Imagine that you work for a horrible boss, okay? Someone like this. He's mean, he's demanding, he's a bully, he treats you really badly. But when he tells you to do something, you have to do it because he's your boss. But then you leave your job and you get a new job with a new boss. Who's the opposite to your old boss? Your new boss is kind and caring and respectful and encouraging. But one day, you meet your old boss and he starts telling you what to do. But what's your response? You ignore him. Why? Because he's not your boss anymore. He has no authority over you. In the same way, for a Christian, it's like sin is our old boss, Jesus is our new boss. The old boss may yell at us sometimes, but he has no authority or power over us. When the old boss is telling us what to do, we can say, no, I don't have to listen to you. You're not my boss. I'm dead to you. I've died to the old life. I'm living a new life now. Living for Jesus. So Dale, Emily, everyone here who's a Christian, whenever we're tempted to sin, to fall back into our old ways, to be selfish, to forget God, let's remember our baptisms. how we went down under the water. And let's let that remind ourselves that we're dead to sin. So we say no to the sin, to our old boss of sin. We say no to him. We say, I'm alive to Jesus now. I'm living the new life now. That's the function our baptisms have in our lives. We don't just say, well, I was baptized and then forget about it. We say, I remember going down into the water, like going into a grave. I'm dead to my old life. My old boss has no authority over me. I'm living my new life now. And that brings us on to our next point. A Christian is raised to live a new life. So baptism doesn't just signify that we're dead to sin. Because as we saw, after Emily and Dea went down into the water, they came back up. And that coming back up is important. It signifies being resurrected from the dead, coming alive again. It symbolizes coming up out of the grave and living. Just as Jesus died, but then rose from death, so a Christian rises to live a new life. So this new life then, what's it like? What does it involve? Well, loads of things, loads of amazing things. And we haven't got time to think about all of them now, but I've just picked out four of them. The new life involves a new love, a new identity, a new significance, and a new hope. So let's briefly think about these four things. First of all, the new life, symbolized by coming up out of the water in baptism, it symbolizes a new hope. When you become a Christian, it symbolizes a new love. When you become a Christian, God's love just floods into your life. You become so conscious of his never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love for you. His personal love, you feel it. And you're amazed. And you feel like the Apostle Paul felt when he wrote this verse. He loved me and gave himself for me. You're just amazed that God and would give Jesus, that Jesus would give himself out of love for you. And God's love is amazing because it's unconditional. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God doesn't say, well, I'll start loving you when you improve, when you start to live better. No, he loved us when we were still sinners. We don't have to earn God's love. He offers it freely to all. All we have to do is accept it. And God's love is transforming. You feel it start to change you. It works on you from the inside, and you gradually get changed so that you start to love others in the same way, that generous, unconditional love that God has for you. And so, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, we start to love one another deeply from the heart. A new love. That's what the new life is all about. But it's also about a new identity. When someone becomes a Christian, something supernatural happens. It's not just an intellectual, oh, I believe in Jesus now. There's a whole supernatural, invisible change. And that thing is that the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, comes and lives in them. We see this in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He's talking about the Spirit of God. God himself, in the Holy Spirit, comes and lives in us when we become Christians. And it's him that makes us new. It's him that transforms us and changes us from the inside so that we have new desires and priorities. We're a new person. We're a new identity. We're Spirit-filled now. And something else happens. We are adopted into God's family. See this in 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. So a Christian can say, God is my loving, kind, caring, heavenly Father. And I, who am I? I'm his precious child. That's who I am now. That's our identity now. That's your identity, Dale. That's your identity, Emily. You're children of God. And he deeply cares for you. So our identity, if we're Christians, is not in how we look, the job we have, our money, our possessions, our popularity, our nationality, or anything like that. Our primary identity is that we are spirit-filled, loved children of God. The new life also means we have a new significance. Now we can say, I am not worthless, inadequate, helpless or hopeless. In Christ, I am significant. And we don't have to make ourselves significant. The Bible says, or indicates in Psalm 139, that we can say, I matter because I matter to God. We don't have to earn our significance from Instagram likes or something like that, or from the approval of others, or from what we've achieved or accomplished. We can say, it's okay. And forget about those things. I matter because I matter to God. And we can also say, I have value and worth because I'm made by God in his image. That nagging fear that we sometimes have, that we're useless and worthless, knowing that we're made in God's image takes away that fear. I have worth and value now because I'm made by him. He's made me in his image. He's made me like him. And we can say, I am God's treasured possession. There's nothing more significant than that. God treasures us. God gives us the verdict, if you like, of treasured and loved and precious, not because of anything we've done, but because of everything that Jesus has done for us. So God's new life, it gives us a new significance. And then lastly, a new hope. This new life gives us new hope. And that means that we can say, I no longer put my hope in human beings, in politicians, in money, or in anything else. I put my hope in God. Hope is a feeling of anticipating a future which is better than the present. Hope is waiting in expectation for something. And biblical hope is based on a person, God. So we can say, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. So our hope is in God. And we can also say we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Because that's what God is like. He's firm, he's secure, he's immovable, he won't let us down. Biblical hope is a wonderful and a precious thing. It's what Dale and Emily have now. And I want to finish by asking you, where is your hope? What are you depending on? What are you putting your trust in? Are you trusting your health or your wealth or the government or technology or other human beings for things to get better in the future? These things and things like them, they just don't have the power to make everything right, to solve our problems. But God does. So why not put your hope in Jesus, like Dale has, like Emily has, like millions and millions of other people have who follow Jesus. Jesus is dying and then rising proves that we can depend on him. We can put our hope fully in him because he's got a power like no other. He can save us from the punishment we deserve for our sins, take away our guilt and our shame, take us safely through our death into eternal life. And in the meantime, he promises that he'll be with us so we don't have to be afraid. He comforts us when we experience loss. He supports us when we're feeling weak. When things are hard, he assures us that nothing can separate us from his love. He gives us a certain, reliable hope for the future. An ultimate hope, because one day, through Jesus, God will make everything right. Put your hope in Jesus. If you want to follow him, if you feel ready, yes, I want to follow Jesus like Dale and Emily have, then come and speak to me afterwards. Thank you for listening, and God bless.